Ladies and gentlemen, happy hump day and welcome to Group Chat.
Welcome.
We're back in the studio. We got a big live show tonight, but since we already know it's going to be incredible, I will say thank you to everyone who came out to the live show. It was incredible.
It was incredible.
We also have a recap from our live show on Saturday at the Young and Reckless event. Mm-hmm. Also, huge.
Huge.
And then other than that, we have a lot of really interesting news today. Mm-hmm. We're talking WeWork. We're talking a lot about China.
Yeah. All hail to the Supreme Leader.
Should we change our intro song? Just the Chinese national anthem?
Might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah. All hail the Supreme Leader, yep. LeBron James.
Jeez. Okay. And also, one thing that we didn't know is that people are pooping in Taco Bell meat.
Yeah.
And mixing it up and serving it in tacos. So, unfortunately, guys, if you have a weak stomach, this might not be the pop culture segment for you, but it's going to get really interesting. It is group chat time. Let's get into it.
Cash.
Ladies and gentlemen, group chat.
Go, Woody, go.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
What's here?
Just group chat.
Okay.
But you know, like, we're back in the studio.
Yeah.
Fresh off a live event.
Fresh off of multiple successful live events.
I feel like a touring artist. I feel like Bon Jovi.
You are similar to Bon Jovi, minus the crowd size.
And
but the passion of the crowd, equal.
He's got great hair, too.
Huge crowds.
Huge crowds.
Turn the cameras around. Turn these. They won't ever show you. Huge crowds. Okay, so two successful events. One of them is in 4 hours. But I'm going to go ahead and say it was massively successful.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Turnout was incredible. Fantastic
Huge.
Response.
People got turned away.
People got turned away at the door. Fantastic. There was almost riots. So huge. And then also the reality that we have is our live event on Saturday was a huge success.
Huge.
I'm going to say this. There are people saying, and I have no reason to say this because it was my event. I planned it, and it took a lot of time to plan to get all those people there, meaning the speakers and the panelists. Everyone's saying that group chat had the biggest, most engaged turnout.
Wow.
And that sucks for me, because that was the easiest one to pull off.
That's at least
you know what sucks? We were a last-minute ad.
You were a last-minute ad.
You were trying to keep us up.
Yeah, you just filled a space, because someone dropped out. And look what happened. Learn my lesson.
It's like our Tom Brady moment. You give group chat a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Look what happened.
Sometimes you just got to get thrown
Kyle
in the
Allen,
game.
You know? Yeah. So anyway, but that is the feedback I got was that everyone, we took a little different route. Like normally when we've done our lives, we've been a little shit-talky controversial like we always are.
Yeah. More topical on the news.
But at that, since there was so much like advice and stuff being given, we went a very advicey route.
Yeah.
So hopefully everyone listened to it on our Monday release.
I thought it was great, and I thought it was really practical information that I think it was interesting just even on topics of like living situations and like financial situations, just hearing, you know, our discussion and then getting feedback from people in the audience about it later.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real practical. The event was definitely a success. It's always exciting to see the energy in person. I don't think in the digital age, as much as your comments are blowing up or your DMs are blowing up, it's nothing like in person.
Yep.
You just felt like there were several moments throughout the day where I was like genuinely just like excited.
Yep.
Like when Kevion got everyone standing up, I thought that was really cool.
Yep.
And then
how about Trevor Moad?
Trevor Moad's NFL kind of test you take, and then you get to shit talk. So I was doing with Mickey from Mag Park. Yeah. He was my partner on it.
Yeah.
And I was, I can't even say what I said. But he was like, say whatever you want to them, and while they have to do the number exercise.
Yeah.
That shit was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I don't know. It was, I had the best time in that when Trevor's thing. And then Rob, like, spitting out information like he's, you know, Mark Andreessen.
Yeah.
Just like straight up, just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. I think we led in with like some Fantasy Factory Robin Big talk, and everyone was like, oh, this is so fun. And then he just like went into.
You know what I liked about it? He was brutally honest. Yeah. Like he was honest about when he started investing, how he failed. He didn't know what he was doing, and that he took the effort and time. He hired people. He put himself around people to understand what he's doing.
Yeah.
That was actually the most I don't know, admirable. To me, that was the most inspirational thing of the whole day, was that like someone like him, most people like him don't ever tell you their weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, or yep. don't talk about it. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yep. I agree.
That was fun.
Your success.
Time. Yeah.
I love the bar upstairs. I was the only one there.
That was pretty much for you. And you definitely weren't the only one there with the bill that we got.
Really?
So I think you were getting everyone to drink, from what I heard.
I was up there contributing.
Well, Danny
as well.
Was ordering 1942 shots.
I heard it was empty up there until you went up. And then all of a sudden, the bill is in the thousands. So anyway, yeah, but that was, we did the bar upstairs with you in mind.
Yes,
so
thank I'm glad you.
We thought for sure you wouldn't really drink before 5, but we were wrong.
I didn't know it was open.
At 10:30, he looked at me and goes, do they serve you alcohol up there? Yeah. It's like 10:30. Yep. He's like, it's about to be 11:30. Yeah.
So when'd you get up there?
Right, I didn't get up there till lunchtime.
Oh, God. One. Waited.
I didn't even, and the problem was I didn't eat all day.
Yeah.
And I had couple shots of 42, yeah. another cocktail.
Yep, got it. I like it.
It was rough.
Casual Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. And then I was cussing at Mickey.
Oh, that's why you were so fired up. Okay.
That makes sense.
Well, thanks to everyone who came out. It's the second of many.
Yes.
We're already figuring out how to do it better next time. A lot of notes, mm-hmm. how to do these things better. But those things I think we could do every 6 months. And then group chat lives we can do once a month.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on. We're why just going to be live constantly.
The whole thing's alive. We should just let people come in our office anytime. We're just live.
I agree. We should just release our address and when we record.
I work live.
Do that. You should just work live.
Just have people in your office.
Just be like, hey, you're
like the president. Just release your itinerary.
Yeah.
And your address.
Everyone's welcome to join all my meetings.
Yeah. I like that. You want to be an influencer. Yeah. That might be the unique angle you need.
Yes, true. Just be like, we're laying off people today. You guys are more than welcome to
come. Come on in. Check it out.
See how it feels to ruin people's lives on a Friday
that
afternoon.
That could go viral. Yeah. Okay, we got to get into some news. Let's talk about business first. First things first, SoftBank. The emphasis on soft.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, taken some ass kickings lately. The most recent one is WeWork. And it looks like the most recent news in that whole shit show is that they're trying to just take control of it. Just enough is enough. Adam Neumann can't even find his shoes. Let us take charge here.
Yeah, and the thing is it looks like Adam Neumann's like last maneuver is not letting SoftBank invest, because then they'll just completely dilute him or push him out or remove his power. They're trying to find some debt. And here's the most interesting thing about the debt. There are 60 financial institutions that have signed NDAs to consider lending this company,
mm-hmm.
right? This company is a complete disaster. Huge failure.
Huge.
And there are 60 people that were considering.
No, but you gotta look lending. At that a little differently. That's 60 people who wanna take a look under the hood. Let's see how bad this piece of shit really is.
I know,
is.
But like, true. There's some interest level.
So, all right, but put it, if you're the last debt piece and you're at the top of the stack, there might be a way if you wipe out all the equity, get rid of all the leases, and there where's is there a number.
There's no assets. There's no, what Lord and Taylor building? That's the only asset?
A couple buildings they own. There's probably a way if you're a lender to financially engineer a way to be safe, but I just don't see anyone's incentive to do that because I don't think there's any equity value longer term. So it's not like you would do that if you think there's like a potential of an outsized return in this risky of a proposition. The only solution, in my opinion, is SoftBank putting in more money.
They have to.
They have no choice.
So how do they get around Adam Neumann? How's that process go down? Like, how do they bully him out of the way if he's trying not to let them?
I mean, I think if no lending facilities come to the table, I'm sure if there is a lender that's interested in lending, they're going to need SoftBank's approval on some of it because they are the biggest shareholder.
Yeah.
And SoftBank could say no, and then it's like a civil war and say, okay, fine, we're just going to let this thing go.
Got it.
But it's crazy as we went from, like we've talked about previously on podcasts, we went from a potential IPO and everyone getting fleeced to them running out of cash by Thanksgiving, potentially Christmas at the latest.
They said for sure they can't make it to Christmas. Yeah. They can get to Thanksgiving.
Who's Houlihan Lokey? Are they going to come in and just fix this all up?
Houlihan Lokey is a chop shop investment bank in L.A., it looks like.
So what does that mean? They're, SoftBank's bringing in Houlihan Lokey.
I have a feeling that no respectable bank will do it, so that Houlihan Lokey has to do it.
Are they like kind of ghetto?
I mean, they're not like the, it's not J.P. Morgan.
But they're known as a, they're known for their restructuring. But what I don't get is J.P. Morgan's their banker. Why isn't J.P. Morgan doing the work?
Because they're like, this is such a pile of shit. J.P. called Morgan and said, hey.
No thanks.
No fucking chance.
Oh, man.
J.P. Morgan's one of the lenders. They're considering lending them $5 billion.
Yeah, I just don't get how this gets solved. This
Houlihan. Company, yeah. Houlihan's got it.
Houlihan's got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't, man. Why, that's, it just all seems so weird. It just seems weird. It's like, why... If you have the best people in the business, why are you hiring? Is they're the only ones who will take it? Houlihan? Like, why does that actually happen?
What do you mean?
Why they hired Houlihan?
Why do you hire Houlihan?
As opposed
if we're kind of laughing at them as being a little bit like not the best.
They're known for restructuring. So they
but like,
do
are
get
they one of the best in restructuring?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So we gave them a bad rap.
Yeah.
I called
them
together.
Yeah, they're not one of the best investment banks. Like, you wouldn't call them if you want to sell your business, if you're a big dog. But, you know, restructuring. They've done some pretty high-profile restructuring.
Okay, so maybe they got this. This will be a good one for their resumes if they can cure this shit show.
I mean, it is... It's a mess. And then, on top of that, mm-hmm. it looks like WeWork is giving people cancer.
Sheesh. I saw that. I saw that in the news, but what happened at their phone booths?
Their phone booths.
They have it's where you can.
So like if you, for example, have a desk mm-hmm. at WeWork and you need privacy to make a phone call, mm-hmm. they have these weird little pods, like literally a phone booth.
Like a soundproof thing.
Yeah, where you can go in and make a phone call.
And there's just cancer dripping from the walls.
And apparently like 2,000 of them have formaldehyde inside of it and are shut down. When it rains,
it fucking pours.
It pours in cancer.
There's formaldehyde pouring.
Yes. God. This company is so cursed. I don't understand why would anyone bail this thing out? The only people that should want to bail it out is SoftBank to save some amount of money.
Yeah, because I think SoftBank's into it for $10 to $11 billion.
It's rough. Funny, too, how quickly this all happened.
Yeah.
Because not that long ago, WeWork was like this incredible thing, $47 billion. Everyone knows about WeWork. And now it's literally a cancerous mess.
And
yeah, they're on the verge of going out of business. Think about that.
Gosh, imagine if you got cancer from a WeWork fucking phone booth.
That would suck.
God. What a terrible way to go out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From making conference calls at fucking WeWork, you died.
Oh my God. God forbid.
Just saying, think about it. That's what's going on in this world.
And they're finally supposed to cut their 2,000 jobs this week, which is about 13% of their workforce. And then I think their chief communication officer just quit today.
Yeah, that's got to be the worst job.
That's the worst job in the world.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah, cancer. So it's not cancer, so to speak. Yeah. There's a lot of different types of cancer. Okay.
There's good kind, bad kind.
Okay, all right, I quit.
We're laying off 2,000 people, we're giving people cancer, and we can't make it to Thanksgiving. Gosh. Any other questions, anybody?
Anyone, okay. I'm out for the weekend, I'll see you.
But kombucha?
Flowing.
Enjoying.
Okay. All right, well... we'll keep you updated, but it looks like it's going to be a quick downward spiral.
Yeah, it's over.
Next up, Facebook, the world's most distrusted company,
mm-hmm.
has been ordered to pay $40 million, which, first of all, is laughable, in a settlement over faking their video metrics to advertisers.
This is not a shock. It's not a surprise. I have a problem with the way the entire advertising industry handles its metrics. Everything from podcast to video to the way impressions are counted across platforms, YouTube. It's all bullshit. Facebook, specifically on the video side, everybody knew. Like if you were like a content creator... you knew if you could get like 2 million videos, video views for like $100 by boosting it, right? Uh-huh. And then you would go around, sell ads on your video or do like, you know, brand integrations because you knew you could get 2 million. You would arb the money that you could potentially get as an ad. 40 million. So there was a plaintiff that was seeking only 100 to 200 million. So I don't know who was part of the plaintiff group on this, but saying that there was inflated metrics by 400 to 500% on Facebook video views. I mean, it's probably way more.
This is like not shocking at all. We talk about companies that have basic businesses and their financials are all bullshit.
Yeah.
How the hell is anyone auditing what Facebook counts as a view?
But that's my question. How did they do that to get a settlement? How did they audit it?
I don't know who's
going. They got a settlement, so they proved it. How did they prove it?
I think it's just Facebook admitting guilt and not actually like
they didn't admit guilt. They refused to admit guilt.
So who's going? I want to know in a situation like this, is someone physically going to Facebook's offices and figuring out where their data is held and going to their data centers? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't get that. How did they get that information?
How can we trust? And we've talked about like we can't even trust basic companies with normal businesses that we've been familiar with for 30 to 50 years.
Yeah.
Who's going to be able to figure out how a technology company
inflates
tracks
videos.
Data, anything?
Well, no, that's what we talked about. Like Bad Baby's show got like 50 million viewers on Snapchat.
Yeah, it's bigger than like American Idol.
Same thing we talk about Netflix. Like who's auditing what's
considered But at least they're not selling ads. The only thing about it is I don't care if you lie about your numbers if you're not monetizing advertising based on it.
Well, I guess...
Facebook is they're fucked up.
Yeah.
It's literally like, I feel like they're in the same when it rains, it pours as WeWork, except for it's such a successful business that you can't do anything. Yeah,
and it's and like $40 million is the most laughable thing.
It's nothing.
Think about how many businesses made terrible decisions because they thought their metrics were one thing on Facebook and they really weren't.
Yes.
And you kept spending and spending and spending and spending and then you went out of business.
I would say everyone we know. Yeah. I mean, we're one of them.
You just happened to catch it.
Yeah, we just caught it 3 years ago, but we knew that it was all bullshit.
Yeah.
I
just don't understand how the punishment isn't bigger. I mean, this is straight up, you are selling something that is fake. And in most other industries, that is fraud and that's a very serious crime.
So here's the thing is you just pay money. The crime is just money. The punishment
but
is just
40
money.
40 million?
It's a joke. So in the opioid crisis, the settlement's coming down today. It looks like it'll be $18 billion all the pharmaceutical companies have to pay.
Yeah, okay? Like that.
That's
a meaningful amount of money, though.
Well, it bankrupted Purdue Pharmaceuticals. Sure. They have to come out of pocket $10 billion, and then the rest to Johnson & Johnson's of the world. But they killed people. Did Facebook kill people? They just killed
businesses. Yeah, but $18 billion. I'm just saying, give me $1 or $2 billion. Just keep it in the B's. If we're talking Facebook, it has to end with a
B. Yeah, any fine has to be minimum B's.
No M.
Well, this is also an issue that the regulators don't understand the impact something like this has. Okay, oh, whatever. They told you wrong numbers on views, 40 million.
Yeah.
That's what happened. They don't realize the impact that, like, how many businesses rely on this.
Yeah. People probably committed suicide over this.
Definitely some mental health issues overspending on Facebook.
Because you thought.
This is like when Bernie Madoff, right? Ponzi schemed everyone. Yeah. People committed suicide. That was used in his trial.
When you thought you were getting 10 million views, but you're really only getting 50.
How many people spent all their money and went out of business because of this stuff?
Yeah.
I want to know those stories. Put that up in the courtroom.
Wow.
Well, all the DDC companies will ultimately lose venture capital money because of this stuff.
Yeah, the cascading effect will be pretty bad.
Facebook is so messed up.
Yeah.
But once again, they're so untouchable.
Yes, they are untouchable.
But people have to just quit using it. Thank God for TikTok, man. You know,
yeah, God,
let's go trust the Chinese.
Chinese social media app.
They're starting to look not so bad. Gigi is a lot more fair than Zuckerberg.
Would you rather have fake views from a Chinese app or an American app?
I prefer Chinese.
Okay.
Wait, I heard good you talking move. Shit before we started recording. Why do you think TikTok views are fake?
Because it's a Chinese company. They're not regulated by anything.
Neither's Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg, at least we as citizens have access to information that a regular Chinese...
preventing a TikTok employee. You said you had 100,000 views, whatever. You
might actually have had, 220.
Okay, you might have had 500 views. They're like, oh, we have a new user. Yeah. We matched his social graph. He's got 1.3 million.
Let's boost his ego up.
Let's boost that white man's ego up.
Well,
you saw that.
You're like, TikTok, motherfucker.
Let's talk about TikTok.
I mean, think about the confidence, your TikTok confidence in the last few days. All you talk
through
about.
Through the roof. Yeah. All I've been doing in all my meetings is like, what's our TikTok strategy?
Yeah.
But no, here's the other thing. Interesting thing. One of our videographers, who has no following anywhere, posted a video and got 1 million views.
It's all fake.
That's not the ego. That's not the boost in the white man's ego.
Is he white?
He's white.
Exactly. Yep. I'm telling you, TikTok is going through their funnel and saying, Indians, we have enough Indians. White people, boost their views up.
Yeah, but I will say, if you ask kids what they're watching, TikTok is like, I don't know that all those views are real. But TikTok is definitely something like, you can't write it off. I'm sort of joking when I overinflate the importance of it, sort of. But I do think it's the first thing since Snapchat that has even been in discussion for disrupting viewing time from Facebook at all.
I agree. It's been disruptive in viewing time. I'll tell you where the TikTok argument is really, really weak. Mm-hmm. And this is not to sound racist in any way.
Okay.
Is that advertisers don't value Indian, Chinese, Thai, Philippine users because they don't have no purchasing power.
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
And TikTok is filled with Indians and Chinese people.
That's fake news. That's such fake news.
You don't... I see is mad Indians there doing like Bollywood dances on there.
You're not... That's like you took like a little glimpse into it and made a huge judgment. I'm telling you. I've now been looking at it, and I'm not saying it's like the new thing, but it's
maybe because you're white, you're served white people. I'm getting Indian served. Maybe.
Yeah, they're smart.
But all algorithm of my audience, works. Unless they're faking everything, including all of my analytics.
Yours are all fake.
Mine are all United States, all my followers. There's not one follower.
USA. USA.
They know. They know the white man doesn't want to see a bunch of brown and Chinese people following
him. The other thing I want to talk about is remember Vine.
I do remember Vine.
A lot of businesses, as well as influencers, had massive starts from Vine. So what I think is the biggest opportunity on TikTok is you...
Get a following there.
It's so impossible to grow or to break through on Instagram anymore. And obviously, Facebook's completely dead. There's this weird opportunity here, I think, where every 15-year-old in the country will know a couple stars from TikTok.
And then they will go on to be vloggers,
and they'll go on to be the next Amanda Cerny, Logan Paul. Yeah. Those people came 100% from Vine. So is the opportunity exactly the same? Probably not. But there is an opportunity where you will have stars created, and as people who make clothing, if those people are wearing Young and Reckless and Menlo and whatever, while they become stars, we know the value
of that. Yeah, that's fine. It's still all fake.
You know, it's fascinating.
And also, I'm going to be more famous than ever, and we're going to have a lot of 14-year-old listeners for group chat.
From India.
Our next live will be a bunch of 14-year-old Indians.
We better go to fucking Bombay. Yeah.
What's fascinating is TikTok, I thought, kind of broke into the U.S. last year at some point. And was at the top of the app store. Then it faded. And it's just, the resurgence is only in the last, like, I would say 60 to 90 days.
Yep.
I know there's reports they spent $1 billion on ads in the last 12 months. But I really want to know how to go viral in the last 60 days. Is it just boosting everyone's viewership?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing. This means nothing. But, like, I think the initial boost in the top of the app store was paid growth.
Yeah.
And then I think it actually kind of caught on. Yeah. I think people are genuinely like using it now. I'm sure they're still paying a shit ton. But I think that initial like top of the app store a year ago was just because they bought
Still spending a lot of money on marketing.
But whatever, I'm with China. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That
seems to be the winning argument.
I'll
be on TikTok if you need me. I'm going to get a couple Chinese flags. I heard that boosts engagement.
Yes.
Don't know why.
Yeah.
Something about burning rockets.
You should go full-blown China on it.
I might go.
Just as a whole. We're all with China.
Well, it's either Trump or China. We got to decide.
Pete getting nervous there.
Yeah.
Either way,
they're going to wipe Wisconsin off the map.
Go China.
Chinese people don't like cheese.
It's okay. I'll throw it all away. I don't want it.
Okay. Next up. Let's talk about another. Damn it, Zuckerberg. Okay. So Zuckerberg now is doing, you know, he's got to do the government thing now, right? Because the last thing he wants to do is get broken up and get all these regulations and all this stuff. So number one. he has beef with Elizabeth Warren, which we'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. Number two, he's been having all these meetings with like some of the most hated right-wing people in government. And it's getting a lot of outrage, you know, I would say rightfully so. I would say most of the people that work at Facebook and are probably Democrat.
Yeah.
And I would, I don't know, a large, I don't even know how to say this. I guess a large part of the Instagram community is Democrat.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that social media, for the most part, leans liberal.
I think it does.
And Zuckerberg's reaching out to your local KKK member to really,
there
you know,
we go. Kick put, it up a notch.
Put an olive branch out to that community and make sure their voices are heard.
What's the goal here, to fight regulation and that sort of stuff?
No, so he went and met with Tucker Carlson and a handful of...
Why Tucker Carlson?
So
he's powerful.
He is powerful. And, you know, there was a quote from 2016 when the election was going on. Zuck was quoted as saying, there's not anything more engaged in news than the Fox News page on Facebook. And there's no bigger star on Facebook than Donald Trump. So it's obviously, I mean,
it's good for
the conservative movement is equally as important for his business. Whether they're disseminating fake news and all that needs to be looked at.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, isn't it weird, though, when so much of the controversy is that you spread fake news and you got this guy elected, to go meet with them on how to keep them happy?
You know, he strikes me as just the sophisticated button-up version of El Presidente. Because he's owning it. He's like, yeah, I went met with all these people, and guess what? You should meet with people that you don't agree with, too.
Try I think it's a day. Disgrace to El Presidente to compare him to...
You see what El Presidente's doing today? I mean... What's he doing today? No, the whole LeBron thing where he was mocking LeBron. But like, I think Zuck's just like, no one's going to tell me what to do.
Well, interesting you say
him.
That.
I think I hate Mark Zuckerberg.
Elizabeth Warren did the ultimate troll. And I hope this gets enough attention. She made a Facebook ad with false claims, submitted to Facebook's ad platform. It got approved. And now it's an ad running on Facebook. And the ad is, breaking news. Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook just endorsed Donald Trump for re-election. You are probably shocked and might be thinking, how could this possibly be true? Well, it's not. Sorry. But what Zuckerberg has done is given Donald Trump free reign to lie on his platform. And then it goes down and down and down.
I'm not mad at that.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And it shows that there's such a serious communication problem in politics. I mean, in all media, it's just all fucked. Because there's no one's holding you accountable for anything. You could say anything, you could do anything, and if you could convince people, you win.
Yeah, that's the internet. Yeah. That's social media.
We were talking about this the other day, like in 15 years, despite all the good that's come of social media, we're going to be like, we were probably better without it.
I think that's true. Because I also think it's so hard to like get the genie back in the bottle.
Oh, the genie's way gone.
The genie's out here fucking.
I know, but I'm just saying, when you're talking about like the only way, I don't even
it's
know what that means. But when you talk about like how to fix this, it's all these regulations and all these rules. I don't think you can do that.
It's a mess.
They're going to put in place some whack, like half-ass regulations. Man, I think people need... Like, you know, we always say, like, the gatekeepers are done. The middleman is dead. Like, sometimes you need a good gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We should go back to 5 channels, 2, 4, 7, 11.
It wasn't so bad.
I had a very happy childhood with my 6 channels.
Yeah.
8 channels.
Damn.
And then we got cable. They got a lot of control. All of a sudden, Nickelodeon.
All of a sudden, there's disagreements on what we're watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before, we just watch Monday night's NBC. Tuesday night, NBC.
Hey, that's how Xi runs the country over in China.
Yeah.
Limited choices, limited options.
I mean, I'm down for like is there a spot between how we're doing it and Xi's doing it?
Yeah. That's probably the right answer. Xi's not far off either.
People need regulations. Like, yes. You can't let people...
Look at this. Look what's happening. Everything is fake. No information, no ad, no any... Everything's just bullshit.
That's weird. Anyway, well, luckily you guys are tuning into the number one podcast in the entire world with 50 million downloads an episode, so all good.
And it, like we said, number one.
Yeah. In China also. Okay, next up, AMC has a brand new revolutionary idea. You may have not even heard the letters AMC lately, but they're here to change the game. They have launched a video on demand streaming service. So cancel your subscriptions, save it for AMC. Screw Disney.
Wow.
Yep.
Are you signing up?
I'm kind of subscribed out.
Yep.
And I'm really waiting for Apple to hit. So I figured since you don't go to the theaters, I would let you try this one for the group. And kind of let us know what you think. Do you have any details? Like,
yeah, so it's only the video movies become available after it concludes in the theater.
Like everywhere else?
So, exactly. It's essentially, to me, now that the iTunes store is kind of gone, it's like just another version of the iTunes store. You can rent or you can, you know, people are, I don't know who the, I honestly, these are the dumbest people on earth, the people that buy movies.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're just right on that. I was going to.
I mean, yeah. $20? People just buying a movie for $20? The only version of you can convince me is, okay, you need to own Frozen because you have a kid. And you watch it 10 times a week.
Oh, yeah.
But like no one's casually buying Gemini Man.
But aren't there like weird adults that like still watch like old school every weekend?
It's like on demand on everything.
Yeah, you're right.
Old school's not like a hard movie to get.
All the classics are on. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and Disney's about to launch everything and there's people schmuck still going to go buy a movie?
Yeah.
This is just a bunch of people at AMC saying, streaming's hot, let's just do it. It's like when everyone wanted a subscription service.
Unless I'm missing something, you would have to be so stupid to think that there's a lane for what they're doing. They're doing an off-brand iTunes store? Do you get it early?
So they have, it's also part of their membership program. I think it's called Stubs, which is, it's unclear. It says that you pay $20 a month for access to new films. And you get a digital version of the movie that you saw in theaters. Like you get it a link sent to you or something.
Like if you go see it in the theater? You
yeah. But which I already just saw it. Why do I need it?
But you get it at that time?
No. I don't know. It doesn't say when you get it.
Because you can just like send a friend to go watch the new movie.
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm confused. We'll cover more on it as it comes
out. I need to actually experience this to properly understand what they're trying to build.
We have to make sure that in our awards show, we tie in worst disruptions of the year.
Worst attempted disruption.
Yeah, like Kohl's with their Amazon returns and like just
the
biggest bullshit. You're ridiculous. Okay, next up. Let's go into some general pop culture news. I got one story.
Okay.
Did you know that somebody in this room has seen a picture of somebody pooping into the beef at Taco Bell and mixing it up.
And seasoned.
And seasoning it and then serving it to customers. Any guess on who that person is?
If I walked in and you told me that story and I didn't actually know the answer, it would be hands down Pete.
Yes.
I would argue that it was Pete pooping.
Yeah. Pete definitely worked at fast food.
To be fair, where this happened was Amherst, Massachusetts. So it was kind of small town, middle America.
Man, I'm from Akron, Ohio. For those of you who don't
recognize
that
voice, he's our poop expert at Taco Bell.
There's our poop sleuth.
Taylor coming in hot. So there's an article that says that 2.3 million pounds of beef from Taco Bell has been recalled. Originally, they were saying there was a beef shortage, and now they're saying there was a contaminant issue.
We've known this for years.
Yeah, we don't know. They're not disclaiming what it is, but Taylor, when sharing this article in our group chat, says, in fact, a buddy of his took a shit.
Not a buddy.
What type of people are you hanging out with, first of all, Taylor?
There's a kid in college who worked at the Taco Bell, and he'd always tell us, he's like, yeah, I shit in the seasoned beef. And we're always just like, haha, that's so funny. Like, yeah, right. And then he's like, no, I actually shit in the seasoned beef. We're like, dude, no way. And then he started sending us pictures. I wish I still had them, of actually like human feces in the beef, and then you mix it all up, and you can't tell the difference.
Did he tell you what his motivation was for doing that?
He just wanted to shit in the beef.
He literally hates.
I mean, I know someone that
hates everything.
In high school, worked at a Baskin Robbins and would put the ice cream scoop down his pants before scooping ice cream.
If we can't,
and it's someone who works in our office.
You know, we talk about.
Yeah. Is he on your team or mine?
My team. Okay,
if we can't trust Facebook and their data, we certainly can't trust what's going on behind the closed doors of a fast food restaurant.
I don't think people understand how gross eating at a restaurant is.
You know what else is probably even grosser? Is like the amount of fast food I've ordered from Postmates.
Yeah.
Because you have two layers where people are rubbing their balls all over everything.
Yeah, I mean, Postmate people.
Like, I've gotten a delivery before and looked out my door and I'm like, man, that guy definitely put his balls in my food.
Yeah. And you still ate it.
And I still ate it.
Yeah. That just shows you, you know, if you're ever really hungry, you can just eat your shit.
I mean, we ate at that Taco Bell in college.
Yeah, did you keep going?
Did you keep going to that?
We avoided the seasoned beef, but we still, I mean, you're not going to knock at a Taco Bell. Especially on a college budget.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I just had to get that story out there.
Yeah.
If we got any ads, let's run some ads. We got any ads? Run them if we got them.
Maybe an antacid.
Maybe some toilet paper. All right. Back to the news. Let's talk about capitalism. We haven't had this conversation in a long time. Anand, I'm looking at you directly.
Yeah.
Because you were a big advocate for capitalism.
I am.
You are. And we got in a little bit of a skirmish, you know, months ago. Dee was kind of on a socialist kick, and we kind of went in on you as if you were like some sort of evil person, whatever. We kind of agree. It looks like
we all agree with that.
We concluded that is true. No, but it looks like Mark Benioff just came out with an opinion piece on why we need capitalism. What do we think?
Well, he starts off this article in New York Times. It's a really great article if you want to read it. He says, "Capitalism, I acknowledge, has been good to me." Goes on to say how he's been very fortunate, made an enormous amount of money, but he says capitalism as we know it is dead and it has to evolve. And it actually goes to exactly what we were talking about. We were actually talking about it in the discussion around Amazon and the Seattle local area, where we were saying that companies have a obligation. We feel companies should have an obligation that has been, you know, reaped the profits from a community, a society, that they need to also do good with it. Mm-hmm. And Mark Benioff is pretty much saying that, like, whether it's income inequality amongst their own staff, which they're auditing yearly now, the community around their offices, what they're doing to the environment, needs to be part of their mission as a business. Because the route that we are currently heading, everyone knows, it's going to continue to be so devastating for most of the earth at the pace we're going. And
so he's saying we need a new capitalism.
Yeah.
So it's still capitalism.
But he's just saying companies need to be held responsible for their action. It's okay to be profitable and make a ton of money, but along the way, you need to do good. You cannot just take. It is your responsibility as a powerful company to do so.
What I kind of took from the opinion piece, and Mark Benioff's pretty vocal about all the equality issues or inequality issues, and in his own backyard, it's the most pronounced in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And he also just built the fanciest building.
It just seems a little weird.
And he's got like a membership club at the top where only billionaires pretty much can.
Yeah, but at least he's doing this.
So I just feel like people are now, it's the new trend to talk about it while you don't.
No, so what I gather from what he's trying to send a message to his fellow billionaires is like, before the revolt happens, and before regulators get involved, because that's when it gets really messy, billionaires just and successful companies just need to be proactive and taking care of communities, which I think is probably the smart move, because you want that to happen first before regulators make some shitty laws and disincentivize businesses, or there's just a civil war.
Yeah.
And I think the stakeholders, despite, you could call it capitalism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, I do think it's smart for billionaires to be proactive on how they're giving back. And I don't think the government's the right solution to tell them how to do it, but I do think they should just be doing it, because what we're going to witness in the next kind of 30, 40 years could be pretty bad.
So I agree completely. I just think that, like, nobody's doing anything except for, I mean, number one, I'm sure a lot of people are doing stuff that we just don't hear about. And then what's his name? What's the guy's name who gave, took care of all the student loans?
Robert Smith.
Yes. That was incredible. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, why don't we see more like that? Like, we're doing this today. Here it is. Yeah. This is the impact. It's happening. Instead, you're going to stand in an office at your beautiful, new, really expensive building and write a piece about how people need to start doing this. I don't quite understand.
So there are things he's obviously giving money to, but he's also like, I think it's great that he put out the piece to make people think about it, but I agree. It's all about action. Like, Robert Smith's action made an direct impact on
that day.
Hundreds of people, thousands of people for that matter. And I think philanthropy also has to be rethought. And that's why I love like what the Gates Foundation does, is like they're seriously attacking a problem and like we're going to solve it. We have to solve it. Like, how many people got polio? They said like 30 last year, as opposed to thousands and thousands of people that were getting it before, hundreds of thousands of people before he even entered the discussion. And I think that's the way to really attack a problem, is that each one of these companies needs to pick these issues and really, really attack them, because it's such a problem. I don't think people realize, like, if these wealthiest companies, and it has to be the company, it's not just the individual, the entire fucking company has to, they're the smartest people on earth. We know the politicians are not the smartest people.
No.
These companies have the best talent. They have the cash resources. They got to do it. They have to solve these problems.
Yeah, it's something they're going to. I just think it's so hard when things are going so well. It's an incredible time to be a billionaire. I think, not that any time isn't, but I think that it's easy to write an article and be like, we need to do something, but actually taking money out of your own pocket or whatever is very hard.
Yeah.
Like, I think the same way you see Bill Gates in that Mind of Bill thing, like, you see how he's building teams and finding the best people to solve this polio issue. That being said, polio, I'm going to, at the risk of sounding insensitive, doesn't cover what we're talking about here. We're talking about, like, let's say U.S. wealth inequality.
Yeah.
These people are so smart. They could figure out the most sensible way to deal with taxes or to deal with whatever.
Homelessness,
and then they could do it on their own terms, even though it's not probably this as good as an option of just keeping it all. It's still an option that you guys dictate, as opposed to letting Elizabeth Warren come in and just have a 90% tax.
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't you do that?
That should be their fear.
That is definitely a fear of, I'm sure, everyone who has a lot of money, that someone like her comes in. But the other, like, sadly, the structural issue, I think it is that it's so clear how broken the political system is. So a guy like Bill Gates is like, I'm not going to deal with this red tape and try to figure out these problems, because these guys are a bunch of idiots and they're just going to pander to their little bases. I'd rather just go actually affect change in third world countries, because no one's regulating Bill Gates in Africa and India. No. He gets to go in and do whatever he wants. Yep. He started doing that stuff in our own backyard. You'll have some politician, you know, scream foul, oh, like, Bill Gates shouldn't be doing, you know, he'll get criticized.
Why is Bill Gates helping homeless in LA?
How dare he? What's his agenda?
Yeah, exactly. But he can go to Africa and India and Pakistan and have all these, like, serious change.
Yeah.
But, like, imagine if these guys just got together and said, look, here's the plan. Here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to allocate capital. Here's what we're doing in this country. We're all okay with it.
Then you're going to have I agree. You're right. You're theoretically 100% right. But then would you want to have the wrath of an AOC and Trump, both sides, both extremes on both sides,
Fine
coming
people.
After you? Like, what incentive do they have?
But you would think, never mind, I'm tripping. I was going to say, you would think that, like, if you had this medium level plan that isn't too one way or the other, made by all of the people with the money, at some point both sides would have to concede and say, yeah.
Well, it's the same reason why, like, Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, he's obviously a very smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
He came out with, like, a little weird way of trying to run for president, and he got buried in
and
the
he's
media.
Not a bad person. He's
roasted him.
Yeah, but I would argue, I would say Howard does not have the heart Trump got, like, when Trump rode down that fucking escalator, it was the biggest joke of the century.
Yeah.
And that guy's in the fucking White House right now.
Yeah, you so, gotta like, have the stomach for it.
Howard doesn't have the stomach. Go have a latte.
Yeah.
Freaking asshole. You know what I mean? You can't step in and like, fucking billionaire and like, all right, I'm out. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the fear of just being roasted by both sides of the media disincentivizes like the really smart and successful people from doing things.
So they're just going to sit in their that's fancy schmancy buildings and write
articles. I think Robert Smith did the right thing. He's like, I know I can just eliminate debt real easy with my alma mater. There's me, no red tape. I'm the most successful guy from this place. Like, boom, got it done.
He killed it. Okay. All right, let's get into some sports news.
Okay.
Number one. Well, the only thing we're talking about today is China.
Mm-hmm.
But we know our audience.
We know. Listen. Respect to the courageous leader. But the first thing we have to talk about is what I wasn't aware of is obviously the big news of the week is the NBA, China, all this shit going on. Biggest news of the last 2 weeks. What I didn't realize is the NFL had tried to make a big China run a while ago, and they hit some issues. It's not too dissimilar from these.
Yeah.
And essentially it killed the whole thing and it was like, all right, fuck it. We're USA. What happened? And do you think something similar could happen with the NBA?
So in 2004, the most famous thing that happened at the Super Bowl was Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake.
The nipple.
Nipplegate.
Yep.
Which I still can't believe people give a shit about.
Well, that was before nipples were just flying around your
eyes. Yeah, on Instagram, you know yeah. I mean? That's pre-nipple.
I mean, imagine like if the worst thing your kid saw today was a nipple.
Yeah, you'd probably just throw a party.
Yeah.
And so that happens. That was one of the first years that NFL was partnering up with Chinese broadcasters to show the game. Like, the game was being shown, but it was like a big push.
Mm-hmm.
That year was... you know, so that happens and it takes over the world. But unfortunately, what happened in China was there was a minute long montage that was a tribute to freedom during the Super Bowl in 2004.
That the NFL made.
The NFL made. In that montage, they showed the protester at Tiananmen Square getting mowed down by the tank.
Seems to me like a really big oversight.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say no one in China has heard of the NFL.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, because it's since that.
No one knows what that is. They don't care about it. It's they call it football known in China is known as olive ball.
Really?
Yes.
That's what happens, man. Don't fuck with China.
Yes. And so
Jesus.
Football is done. Today, the NBA is facing the same problem. Big mouth, big tweeter, big finger, Daryl Morey.
Twitter fingers.
Twitter fingers goes out in support of Hong Kong. NBA did the right thing. They try to shut him up.
Shut up and dribble.
Shut up and manage. You are not a protester.
Yeah, this is a jam up. This is a jam up. Like, and then, what do you honestly do? If you're a company, and it is, I think we all agree it's important for a company to have values and to stand behind something, but then when you try to globalize and another country just believes something different, what do you put first?
So the question was put to the king, LeBron James.
The king let me down.
And the king pretty much sides with the emperor.
Not pretty much. The king was like,
he was like, Daryl Morey misspoke and needs to understand the situation a little bit better.
Yeah.
Free speech is not always free speech. And
no, he said free speech has consequences.
Has consequences, which is accurate.
Spoken like a true dictator, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like something
Trump
would say. Do you know
what his nickname is?
If you looked at the soundbite, who did this come from? Donald Trump, LeBron James, or Dave Chappelle? You'd be like, definitely Trump.
How about the king? He lives in a dictatorship.
He's the original dictator.
He's a king.
He probably tells his kids that too.
Yeah.
Free speech has consequences.
You little brawny. Fuckers. You want to sit there and your IG.
The real issue with the statement was that he was rambling and it wasn't like put together, in my opinion. You had a week. You're the most influential athlete in the world.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a PR team? Like, you're going to be asked.
Yeah.
The moment you land in the U.S.,
Maybe that's how he feels.
He should have had an Obama type response.
Maybe when he maybe when he was in China, Gigi plucks him from the hotel and goes, "This is what you're going to say, King." Do you know how much Nike sold last year in China? Do you know how much? Guess how much Nike sold last year in China.
You know the number?
Yes.
$3 billion.
$6.7 billion.
Yeah.
And you know what they, Phil Knight, Gigi, go meet LeBron and say, "You're going to sign with us."
What do you think the chances are that China said, "Look, we want your biggest star to support us, we can smooth all this"?
Because there was posts on Weibo and TikTok saying how like LeBron is such a great, he fights for the Chinese.
LeBron probably just made $1 billion with that statement.
Yeah, the other striking thing was that he seemed visibly upset at Daryl Morey, saying like, "Look, you dumbass, we were over there in China.
Yeah.
You didn't think about us being there.
Yeah.
Wait till we get home and open your big mouth."
Yeah. Somebody talked to him.
Someone talked to him, and
he made the right move.
I don't know. Maybe financially he did.
I think the problem really is
that this is just the like dirty secret that everyone's known forever. We do business with oppressive regimes, and we do trade with oppressive regimes. We sell missiles to people that probably shouldn't be buying our missiles.
I don't think it's a secret. It's pretty known.
I said like the secret no one wants to talk about, like the elephant in the room. It's not, I'm not saying it's a secret like
everyday Americans don't know.
They don't know that?
No, they don't know that. Hell no.
It's in the news. We're selling missiles to
who's reading the news?
Nobody, bro. They're on Facebook. Like, on TikTok. Oh wow.
Yeah.
We're building a wall.
You know who's going viral on TikTok? I'm sure LeBron is.
Yes.
Send those my God. You want
to everyone
talk about
gets me to see LeBron.
So like, is the NBA going to be the organization that has to deal with this?
No.
Versus every other multinational corporation? Like, should Apple stop selling iPhones in China? Like, where?
No. Here's what's going to happen. The NBA, this is going to be a rocky couple of weeks. We're going to do whatever we got to do to make China happy, and we're going to be back to business as usual.
I think we should play the Chinese national anthem before every game.
What do you think? Anyone's going to boycott the NBA here?
I like your theory that China told the NBA LeBron saying something.
I think they did.
Yeah.
That would be my best
I don't guess. Even think they went to the NBA.
They went to LeBron.
You're the king. We want you to stay the king. This is what you're going to say.
But think about it. I'm sure Nike's calling. I'm sure NBA's calling. Everyone's like, "Yo, how do we fix this?" And they're like, "We want LeBron."
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's no one affiliated with the NBA, working for the NBA, no owner player that is incentivized by not having the NBA in China.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. That guy fucked up. I'm not talking about what's right or wrong. That owner fucked up.
He's a general manager.
General manager. Not even a freaking
owner. That's why you're not even
rich enough to talk.
Not a governor.
Down.
Remember, they're governors.
They're governors.
You're right. Okay. All right.
Let me tell you, I'm going to make a prediction. Number one selling shoe in China next year, LeBron's.
Not Hong Kong. They're burning his jersey in Hong Kong.
I want to make a prediction.
No, Hong Kong is not going to exist. Who cares about sales in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong is just regular China now.
They're going to pull. Nike's only going to have King. The King editions.
I think 50 years from now, we're ran by China. That's my prediction.
And LeBron is the.
I'm just telling you, man.
Is second in command.
The James family's safe. He made it clear.
Bronny's not even going to the NBA. He's going straight to Chinese pros. They're paying $50 million.
I'm just telling you, man. While we're over here, like.
You know what's crazy?
Just loading up on Kylie Cosmetics and fucking McDonald's.
Yeah.
They're over there running shit.
I just remembered Bronny and his high school, Sierra Canyon, went and played in China a month ago.
Yeah.
The James family is.
They've already cut a deal.
You want to keep Bronny safe next time he's here?
Yeah.
Just give a little press conference.
Yeah.
Just say he was uneducated on the topic.
Yes.
That'll work.
Sign up for TikTok. He went so hard. You're so right. I didn't even think about that.
I bet you. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say come see us tonight, but this will be up by then. So thank you for coming to see us last night.
Yeah.
We had a great show.
Great.
Incredible group of Cathys that showed up.
Biggest
show ever. It's crazy. That's what the papers are already writing.
Chinese papers love it.
TikTok loves it.
We're huge in China.
Shanghai Times, number one podcast in the world.
Gosh, it's so nice. Okay, subscribe to that newsletter, group-chat.com. Hit us up on social media at Group Chat Pod. Make sure you submit your questions. You guys got to respond to your Friday fan questions.
Yes, I will do it.
Yeah. Submit your questions. Oh, and we have a new question thing. What is the, what's the address?
Questions.
Questions. You have a mic. People want to hear from you.
This is my shining moment. Okay.
Come yeah. on, Steve.
It's groupchatquestions@gmail.com.
Thank you. So what we want you to do there, if you're feeling really, like you're a really dedicated Kathy and you want to get some shine, send us a question talking into your phone. Send us a video. We're going to respond on video and post it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
But make it a good question. Think about it and really make it a good one.
So just record a question on your phone, send the video to groupchatquestions@gmail.com. We're going to answer them once again on video and post that on our Instagram and our TikToks and our Facebooks.
And Weibo.
And also Weibo. So get your Huawei. I'm going to get Weibo. A Huawei.
Yeah.
Huawei, Weibo, get rid of Instagram, get rid of Facebook.
And Apple. Might as well get the process started.
Yeah. We might as well get there early.
Those guys are working.
Everyone's talking about TikTok. We're on Weibo.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. And get your LeBron James jerseys.
Yes.
Guys, we'll see you on Friday.